Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, where we see that the ministry of angels is a constant subject throughout the Bible, and the book of Revelation is no exception. The angels in the end times are carrying out God's will, testifying of His sovereignty, and bearing witness of His grace with mankind. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, with a message entitled, Kiss the Son.
The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So you imagine the scene, the crowd, the noise. And they were saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. And here's that ki in the Greek, the and, adding emphasis to each characteristic that's described. It's not supposed to be just read through as one, although the tenses are. The and there shows us that each one is to be spent time with. He says, this is the praise, the worship before the throne. You are worthy to receive power. You are worthy to receive riches. That's how it would be said. You are worthy to receive wisdom. You are worthy to receive strength. You are worthy to receive honor. You are worthy to receive glory. And you are worthy to receive blessing. Then every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, you know, you got the celestial, the terrestrial, and then the infernal. He says all of them now join in. All that are in the sea and all that are in them. And I heard, middle of verse 13, I heard, John says, them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. Timeless ages. That's what he's saying here. Just continually. It's never going to cease this praise. And so the four beasts, they continually said, verse 14, they continually just kept saying, amen, 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 so be it, we agree. And the four and the 20 elders fell down, and they worship him that lives forever and ever. Lord, we thank you for this scene this morning. We thank you, God, for what is our future in you. Lord, what we will be raptured into, should, Lord, we be the generation that experiences that. God, what an amazing view this must have been to John. What it will be to us, Lord, when we turn our heads in heaven and all we can see is heads. Singing praises to your name. Blessing you. Giving you the adoration that you're due of. Lord, continue to teach us what it is to worship on this side of eternity, Lord, so that we can just transition smoothly into glory. We thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would settle us into receive your word, Lord. It's a little easier to worship you in spirit through song, God, but to worship you in truth, to worship you in our learning, God, so that we can apply it to our living, that's where it gets a lot trickier, Lord, to put feet to our faith, to apply these things that are going to unfold before us this morning. So, Lord, cause our hearts to want to do of your will, to want to do what brings you good pleasure, Lord. Continue to feed that within us, we pray. We know that in us, God, dwells no good thing. So, Jesus, we need your spirit this morning to motivate us, God, to give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, to not be distracted by the cares of the day and the weekend, God, the week ahead. But, Lord, just to give you this time, full focus. And so we give it to you now, Jesus. We pray for an anointing of your spirit upon my lips so I can speak forth, Lord, your heart according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I was doing some reading this past weekend just stories from medieval monasteries. And I came across this one interesting one that I wanted to use to share with you this morning before we go back to these verses. There was this monastery that back in the medieval times where they made it a rule that hymns of praise to God would never cease. Where these men were, they just wanted to be like a reflection of ancient Israel's temple where praise was constantly ascending before the throne. You see it in scripture, and these guys just felt like, man, this is amazing. We got to have an experience like this on earth. So when one of the monks would stop singing, another one would pick up the song. So literally, day and night, there'd be this joyous sound to be heard of worship to the Lord from this gathering of men, this place where these men would live and stay. And then on one occasion, this monastery was overrun by a band of horse raiders. They came in and they slaughtered the monks without mercy, including the one that was singing. However, one of the monks that lived there was able to escape and hide in an inaccessible spot where the attackers most likely would have never have found him. But when this monk that was hidden heard the song of praise cease, instinctively he took it up and began to sing to the Lord, thus betraying his place of refuge and eventually being slaughtered. But I thought, man, how amazing, just that devoted in worship to the Lord. And you might think, well, that's a little legalistic. That's a little bit like a little bit law and ritualistic, and maybe so. But to me, I think it's beautiful. And to the Lord, it must have been a sweet sacrifice of praise as these men were seeking to emulate heaven. They were seeking to just kind of follow the pattern of Scripture, this attitude of continuous adoration. It seems like that's what heaven's going to be like, by the way. If you're the type who says, man, just let the worship end, you're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate heaven. I don't even know why you'd want to go to heaven. People that don't want to walk with God and know God on earth and then want to die and go to heaven, what's the point? That's his habitation. That's his place. Like, we're going to be home with him. So to love the Lord and to love to worship the Lord, those things would do you well if you're seeking to go to heaven and to enjoy heaven, quite honestly. I mean, the way I see this here and why I share that story with you is it seems as though the redeemed, in last week's study, in verses 8 down to 10, we cease our song for a minute, and then the minute we stop singing, it's like John says, and then I turned, and then I beheld, and I heard. I didn't just hear, and I didn't just behold, I beheld and I heard, which makes it a stronger emphasis. I beheld and I heard a new praise erupt. One song ends, another song begins. And it's all praise to the Lamb. It's all praise to the Lord. 44 times we're going to read this phrase, I beheld, by John. Throughout Revelation, I beheld, I beheld, I beheld. 27 times we hear him say, and I heard, and I heard, and I heard. Here they come together. It makes it strong. John says, I beheld and I heard. Like, imagine if you all came in and the worship team was behind you, right? It'd be a neat effect. You'd be able to hear them. But to be able to see them and their love for the Lord and their emotion and passion for Jesus, worshiping in spirit and in truth, seeing them and hearing them, it causes you to say, okay, I want to join this. I want to be a part of this number. John says, I beheld and I heard the voice, unisons, of all of this heavenly host praising the Lord. There were the angels. And I think about the angels. They can't sing of redemption experientially because they haven't been redeemed. But I think about the angels being there since the beginning of creation, looking down with great wonder and interest, bewildered by grace. You know, these are those who have been involved in our lives. We've done studies on that, specifically in Hebrews. I think angels are very involved with our daily lives. I think that we all have a guardian angel. Some of you got more than one. You got a tag team on you. You think of our lives that have been spared, God's faithfulness to us. There's a lot of ministry. They're ministering agents of the Lord. I pray for the Lord to dispatch his angels on this place, on my family. I mean, it's biblical. It's all through scripture. That's a whole nother study. But you think about in Christ's ministry, the involvement of angels. They are those who announce his birth. They are those who direct his flight to Egypt. the ministry of the angels happened to Jesus in his wilderness experience when the devil's messing with him for 40 days. They are those who strengthen him during his travail of prayer in Gethsemane when he's sweating great drops of blood and his human companions fail him. Think about the angels, what they're experiencing. I mean, they can't sing of redemption like we can. They can join in. They don't know of it like we do. But think about what they've walked with Jesus, if you would, in just his ministry. They are those who roll away the stone at his grave. They're sitting on the stone. Remember that? That was awesome. Sitting on the stone. We'll be there soon talking about the resurrection. There are those who tell the good news of his resurrection. There are those that assure the disciples of ascension to his throne. They're there entering heaven, scene of angels when Christ is ascended. The day of his glorious return, he'll be accompanied by innumerable legions of angels. So it's no wonder that Peter says they're super interested in everything that's going on with Jesus and us. They're there. It tells us in the Greek, myriads upon myriads. I mean, King James says thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands. Some people are like, so let's calculate this. What do we got here? 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. You're not supposed to calculate it. It's incalculable. You can't calculate it. Myriads was the largest number in the Greek. In other words, there's like millions upon millions and millions and millions of the host of heaven worshiping before the Lord. Imagine the scene. Angels are there. The beasts are there. The church, represented by the elders, are there. We're gathered together. We are around his throne, worshiping him, blessing him in unison with a loud voice. And we're saying to the Lamb of God, to the King of Kings, you are worthy. So what this is we're kissing the Son. That's the title of my message this morning, Kiss the Son. We're worshiping Jesus, man, in a way that we've never experienced before. Worship in the Hebrew, before we break these seven characteristics down, means this, to turn toward and to kiss. It's appropriate for Valentine's Day. You want to kiss somebody? Kiss Jesus. Turn toward and kiss. Listen, to worship means to express adoration and love for who he is, for what he's done. It's the adoring response of the creature to the infinite majesty of God. Just this adore, it's my response. Nobody's making me. It's my response. It's this adoring response. It's a natural response when you consider what Christ has done, right? I mean, you are worthy to, worthy. You are worth ascribing my praise to. I'm going to turn toward and I'm going to kiss. I like the way that one gentleman put it. Worship is the occupation of the soul with God himself. I got a book on just the songs of Revelation. All the author does is he just commentates and unpacks all of the songs that are found throughout this narrative. And he describes worship as that. It's the occupation of the soul with God himself. And it's in the highest sense. You worship leaders and all of the church as worshipers, we should lean into this. He's saying it's going past this worship the Lord because of supplication. Lord, I'm worshiping you because I know that I need you to intervene. Lord, I'm worshiping you because I'm desperate for you to move miraculously in my life. That's okay. You can worship him influenced by supplication, but this is higher. This is even higher than worshiping him in thanksgiving because of something you've received. Lord, thank you. It's supplication, thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. For all that I've received, my wife's in charge of me, my daughters are in charge of me. God, thank you for this, right? That's worship, that's appropriate. Higher. He says the highest form of worship is the occupation of the soul, he says. Where it's bursting from within me because of him, who he is, and I'm turning toward him and I'm kissing him. We see that in heaven here. All of the host is occupied with his presence. Fixated upon Jesus, saying, you are worthy. You are worthy, we already saw in the weeks before, to unloose the seals, to take the title deed to the earth. That's going to happen in chapter 6. We're going to start chapter 6 with a bang the next time we gather. But right now, they're saying, there's this worth to be ascribed to you. This occupation of the soul with God himself. You are worthy to receive. Listen, the word receive there, in verse 12, it's not indicating that now he's in a position where we're giving this over to him like it was ours to give. Because we're going to read these attributes, and one might think, oh, he's receiving from us glory. He's receiving from us power. Y'all know we aren't giving him anything. But, listen, William Barclay said, our worship to the Lord, it's the one gift that we have who have nothing that can give to him that possesses all things. We're not like, here you go, Jesus. Now you got the power. Now you got the strength. Receive there means we're bringing it back to where it belongs. It's where it belongs. All these things, they belong with him. Amen? They belong with him, and we're joining in with this crowd, this heavenly host. We're singing praises to him. We're honoring him. We're giving him the glory, the adoration that is appropriate to his name. You are the one who is worthy to receive. All things come from you and emanate from you. So we begin here with this description of, Lord, you are worthy to receive power. We're going to move through these individually. And it's certainly not an exhaustive study this morning. Each one could be its own week. But I am going to exhaust it more than I've heard anybody else ever share this before. Because I think this is important for you and your walk with Jesus on this side of eternity. When we get to glory, we're going to sing this to the Lord. It's going to mean something different. But for you today, some of you need to be reminded of the power of Jesus. Some of you need to be reminded of the strength of Jesus. I'm never getting up here just to give you information. I'm never getting up here just to fascinate you with what Scripture means futuristically. What does it mean right now? What's your daily bread? Some of you need to hear about the power of Jesus. Because he is the one who always was, who is, and is to come. These aren't things he'll eventually be. He already is. You are worthy to receive power because power comes from you. You are worthy. I'm going to give you scriptures. I did a neat thing here. After I describe each of these attributes of Jesus, I then will take you to different places where the same Greek word is used in New Testament scripture so that you can connect dots and allow it to apply to your life. Some things will mean more to you than others. Some of you say, I don't need to hear about the power of Jesus right now. But that's fine. Maybe you need to hear about the glory of Jesus because you're touching it too much. We'll let the Lord speak to you. He certainly spoke to me, and I know he'll speak to you if you lean in. So the power of Jesus, it's the same word that's used in Revelation 1, verse 16, as the sun shineth in his strength. It means here, as Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. The Lamb's unlimited ability to perform. That's how I want to define it for you this morning. The Lamb's unlimited ability to perform. That's who he is. Jesus, you are worthy to be sung about the power you possess. This unlimited ability to perform. I'm limited. You're limited. We're limited. But we're going to get there and put a face with the name. We can start singing to him now of the power he has. And we can start to touch this. But we're going to get there and we're going to say, Jesus, you are the one who has this unlimited ability to perform. He is the valiant might of God. He is the valiant might of God. Write this down, Ephesians 1, verse 19. You need this reinforced in your life for this week. The power of Jesus. Ephesians 1, 19. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. Nothing can withstand the force of his sovereign will. Nothing can withstand the force of his sovereign will. Again, as I said to you at the start, Revelation 1:16 takes this Greek word, uses it there as the sun that shineth in his strength, dynamin, where we get dynamite from. It brings out the sense of omnipotent power. Listen, I'll touch this for you again in a second, but it differs from strength and its emphasis upon Jesus' ability, while the other word depicts the presence and actual use of force. And we'll go over that in just a second. He's all powerful God. That's who Jesus is. It's not who Jesus is going to become when we all get there and ascribe this praise to him. Now he can be all powerful because we gave him the power. He already is. That will carry you through this week. Y'all need to be carried through the week. I need to be carried through the week. I need to know my daily bread. He is the powerful one. And riches belong to him, which means I'm supposed to spend some time with that one now. All riches belong to him. The first verse that came to my mind when I read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says that Christ became poor so that we could become rich. Christ became poor so that we could become rich. It denotes, Ephesians 5, 8, you can write down, it denotes an infinite resources and fullness of every divine gift. All the treasure of the universe is his. The world in all of its fullness. Read that this morning in my devotions. Try reading that without smiling. It's all his. A cross-reference, as I told you I'd give you for some of these, is Philippians 4:19. This is a good one. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Spiritual wealth, but also unconditional wealth and realms is befitting as an all-sufficient God. He said in Matthew, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything that you have need of will be added unto you. So that's how practical this message could become this morning. It's so big and broad where it's like, man, I can't even comprehend myriads of hosts and glory praising God in these Greek words I don't even understand. All the way down to, what do you need, $5? Because that's the God that we serve. Peter said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And he made a promise. All of his promises are yes and amen. He is not man that he can lie. Seek Jesus first, his righteousness, and you'll have two pennies to pinch together. That's the faithfulness of God. And you can apply it in that way, certainly, but way beyond that as well. He is infinite, just supernatural, beyond anything that we know on this side. He's so glorious, and we're supposed to be overwhelmed by that. Also, there's this description here of worthy is the Lamb because of his wisdom. I love that, his wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God, put simply. Christ is the wisdom of God. Here's another way that I wrote it down here to break it for you. I think this is solid. Christ is the wisdom of God, which means he is that mental excellence. He's that mental excellence to know the highest ends and the best means to their attainment. We laugh at sometimes. Like, man, I'm at a crossroads. I got to make big decisions this week for my kids, for my family. You men in this room that are husbands and fathers, there's a lot of weight there. You're called to be the spiritual leader. You're called to be the high priest of your home.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.